Well, what I'm going to be ministering tonight, the title of it is Church, simply Church, because there's a lot of confusion about church. I'm going to tell you a story first this off. Now, Frank, you might not know this, but Kelly has two middle names. Does he know it, huh? Yeah, her name is Kelly Mae Beatrice. She is named after those two middle names, is his grandmother and my mother. Because when I had Casey, her name's Casey Renee Edith, I fell asleep, and he slipped Edith in there, which is his mother's name. So then when I had Kelly, I thought, my mother's going to get in there somewhere. So she became Kelly Mae Beatrice. Now, this is a Grandma B story. Before she passed away, it was around Thanksgiving sometime, she called me. And how many of you have moms that when you're in trouble, they use your proper name? Here's how it went. Hello, Mildred. This is your mother. And I thought, oh, God. She goes, the last 2 years for Christmas, you have sent me money. I don't want money. I said, Mom, you don't like money? She goes, nope, not for Christmas, I don't. I said, well, Mom, I'm sorry, but what do you want? She goes, I want you to go to the store, pick me something out that you'll know I like. Her favorite colors were red and orange. She didn't wear any makeup except for bright red lipstick. Remember that? It would get on her teeth, and she'd have a red stain right here. But anyway, she goes, I want you to go to the store and pick me out something you're going to know I like. Then I want you to take it home, and I want you to wrap it real pretty. Put a card on it. Then I want you to put it in a package. Wrap that package to be mailed at the post office and to send it to me. And I said, Mom, how come you want me to go through all that? She goes, because I know the whole time you're doing that, you're thinking about me. You've purposed in your heart to go to the store, to buy me something that I like, to wrap it, and then wrap it again, and then go to the post office and mail it in a timely manner so that I get it at Christmas time. Now, I said all that because you have to remember that, because at the end I'll tell you this other thing. There's a lot, you know, if you look at Paris, it has a lot of churches. There's nearly one on every corner, down every road, everywhere. And the confusion is this. There's people that you meet in life, then when you ask them, well, what church do you go to? Well, I don't go to church. Oh, and you're a Christian? Yeah. But, and then they'll give you a reason or an excuse, Tommy. A reason or an excuse. In fact, I looked it up in my phone. You know, you can talk to your phone, get all kinds of things. And there was this one thing. There was a study. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Called the Barna Group Study. Listed five reasons, and I talked about it Wednesday. This is their five reasons. The church is irrelevant. The leaders are hypocritical, and the leaders have experienced too much moral failure. God is missing in church. That was number two. Legitimate doubt is prohibited. They're not learning about God, and they are not finding community. That was the five leading reasons through this study. Now, I have heard some doozies, haven't you? One time I heard that I didn't like the same hamburger that someone liked, and so they stopped coming to church. True. Honestly. Another reason is, well, I practice my faith differently. I practice my faith in nature. I get out there, and I commune with nature and the Lord. I hear that one. Or they're all a bunch of hypocrites down there. They all want your money. It's too hot. It's too cold. I have only one day off a week, and by golly, I'm going to spend it the way I want to. Those are some excuses, and I know that you've heard some more. So I had to ask myself one time in prayer, I was talking to the Lord about this because it bugged me. Do things ever bug you? Larry, do things bug you sometimes? Things like that bug me. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about all of this? This sounds ridiculous. Did I say that right, hon?
Yes,
hallelujah. There's a program on
ridiculousness,
and I was calling it ridiculosis. So I don't want to watch that ridiculosis. It sounded like a disease, didn't it? She got a kick out of that. Yes. Okay, let's, now, so I asked the Lord about this. He goes, well, Millie, why do you go to church? And I thought about it. I said, you know, Lord, I go to church because I love you. I can't help myself. I love you. So wherever your people are meeting and I can hear more about you, I'm going. And that's why he goes, yes, I can see that. But so I started a study about church, and I found that the Greek meaning for church is ecclesia, which means an assembly. Now, back in God's time, there's assemblies of all kinds. They had leaders that would assemble together, and different assemblies here and different assemblies here. But in the New Testament, it refers to an assembly of believers, and that's the word ecclesia. Let's go to Matthew 16:18. And you might have to help Coco. Coco likes to find the places in the Bible. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now here's the thing. Each one of us as Christians ought to be into our word to find out what it actually is saying, because the original language, of course, is Greek and Hebrew and Chaldean?
Chaldean.
I'm terrible at pronouncing things, so I usually ask him. So you have to find the original meaning. So the original meaning, when you look at it looks like, okay, we got Peter, his name means rock, and the church is rock. Looks the same, doesn't it? Not the same. Peter, the Greek word for Peter, the name, is Petros, which means a stone or a fragment of a rock. So I could say to Frank, well, you're a chip off the old rock, aren't you? What I'm saying is he's a follower of Jesus. Greek word for Peter is Petros. Now the other rock, the second one, where it says, and upon this rock I will build my church, that rock is Petra, which means the entire rock, which is Jesus Christ. So his church, this church, is built on Jesus Christ. Okay, and Jesus is the originator and the establisher of the church. Doesn't mean that Peter is the rock. The confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, which he does earlier in the verses, that is the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, or in reference to the power of Christ's resurrection and all the redeemed. The church is built on the confession and truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when someone talks to you about church, why go to church? Well, you know, Jesus originated church. He established church. That's one reason. All right, let's look at something else. Matthew 16:16. Just a little bit before that. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." There it is in the Word, the confession that he's the Son of the living God. And that's what the church is built on. Hebrews 10:25. "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So here we're in some translations it says, "Do not forsake the assembling together." Okay? And what that means is instead of using the word church there, it used assembly. Why did he do that? He didn't want to make it any confusion in your mind what he wanted you to, who was the assembly. "Let not us neglect the meeting together of believers." So the reason, now here's the thing. Jesus originated the church, established the church, and the confession that he is the Lord, that is what the church is built on. The second thing, it's his will. You go to church because it's his will. You can't forsake the assembling together. Okay, now let's look at Luke 4:16. "When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual." What does it mean, usual? It was a habit. Is a custom. "He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures." Jesus himself went to church, went to the synagogue. Why would the Son of God have to go to church? You know what? He was setting a precedent. He was setting a precedent. He was trying to show people the way they should go. It was his will. What did Jesus come here to do? To do the will of the Father. Exactly right, huh? To do the will of the Father. It's his will that you go to church. Now, so putting away that, you have something to answer someone who doesn't know whether they should go to church or not. Okay, let's look at, now here's the thing, people come to church, will say, "Well, you know what? They're just a bunch of hypocrites." A hypocrite is someone who gives a pretense of being one thing, but they're actually something else. Anytime you get an assembly of people, you're going to have some baby Christians. You're going to have some maturing Christians. You're going to have some elder Christians. Now, I can't expect Colton, who is 7, my expectations for him as a 7-year-old are different than they are for Carson, who is 11, because he's older, he's more mature, even in the natural sense. That's how it works. In the spiritual sense, the same way. I was telling Casey Kelly one time, we were driving down the road, and I said, "Kel, you can't get mad at them baby Christians because they're babies." Ever seen a baby or a small child? They pitch fits. I remember Casey one time. She pitched a fit at the grocery store. She laid on the floor and rolled around. The cashier's looking at me like, "Oh, God, look at your kid." Angela's looking at her, too. Kid bought her a sucker. He got in the car. He got that sucker, and he said, "See this sucker, Casey?" She said, "Yeah." He's all happy now. He rolled the window and threw it out. Why? He's maturing her. He's growing her up. It's one of the things for a church to do. Now, that might seem hard to some of you, but that's the truth. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. Oh, they've already got there. "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to the world or as though you were infants in Christ." Sometimes when we're talking to Christians, There's some things I won't share with certain Christians because they just couldn't receive it. It would be hard for them because they're babies yet. I have to wait until they mature a little bit. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds like foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what a spirit means. Now, what they're saying here, there's such a thing in other translations that says natural man. The natural man or natural woman is not spiritual. They're worldly. And when you start speaking spiritual things to them, they think you're crazy. They think you're foolish. It's like the Bible says about sharing pearls to swine. They just don't get it. And so, you believe it or not, sometimes they wander into the church. Why? The Holy Spirit's trying to draw them. So you have them. So that, yes, it might seem to the outsider who comes into the church that there's some hypocrisy in the church. And because of the different, and it's an assembly of a gathering of people of different levels. Yes, yes. But don't judge them. We're not going to judge you. Just come on in. Come on in. The purposes of a church are very many. Purposes, teaching is one, a place of fellowship, observing the Lord's Supper, praying. Let's look at Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced with people trying to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Baby Christians are children in the Lord. You can usually spot them because they get mad easily or angry, and they might leave the church and they might come back. They might leave the church. You know what I mean? They get upset easily. You can't get angry with them because they're just not mature yet. You just have to wait patiently for that process to take place, and hopefully they'll come back. Do they always do that? I was telling Angela, I said, they always don't do that. I told them about, Brenda Babe's not here. She's teaching that. There's such a thing as a failure to thrive baby. A failure to thrive baby that no matter how much formula you give it in baby food, you're trying to get it healthy, it can't grab hold of it. It's a failure to thrive. And in the spiritual realm, sometimes we have failure to thrive babies. Though we try to minister to them, it's difficult because they have trouble receiving it. Let's look at Romans 12:9-10. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. You know, one of the reasons it gave was that they couldn't find a community. And that means fellowship with fellow Christians that they can relate to. So when someone comes to the door, one of Kelly's favorite things is love them no matter what. They may smell different. They may look different. Love them anyway. Now, because of time, I'm going to just give you some verses to look at. Ephesians 4:32 has to do with being kind and compassionate. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 for edification and comfort. These are purposes of the church. To love one another, 1 John 3:11. To observe the Lord's Supper, the sacrament or communion. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For prayer, Philippians 4:6-7. Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission. Each church should be a lighthouse in the community, sharing God's word with the whole community. The word. I just titled this section, The Word. Now, there are 21 epistles in the Bible. Did I pronounce that right, hon? Epistles. Epistles are letters written by an apostle to the church or to individuals. There are 9 of them directly written to churches. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. These are to the churches specifically. There's also some more. There's 3 pastoral letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. There are 8 general letters to individuals or to the general church. Philemon, Hebrews, James 1 and 2 Peter, John 1, 2, and 3, and Jude. All those books of the Bible are wrapped up in instructions generally to churches or pastoral letters. So for a person to say they don't believe in church, what do you do with all them books in the Bible? Do you lift up the rug and tuck them under there, or what do you exactly do with them? Because they're directions for the church. Now, did the churches back there have problems? They're the same problems we have today. Exactly the same. Jesus sanctifies the church. And here's another thing that he relates the church to. He relates it to the relationship between a husband and wife. He even says that he died for the church, that he laid down his life for the church. So to say the church isn't important, that's ridiculous,
Amen.
Right? Not ridiculosis. In conclusion, you have to remember that people, Angelo always wants me to walk with him. And Frank, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give him a reason for not walking. I give him an excuse, which is not right. I'll tell him, it's too hot. It's too cold. I'm not sure if I can go. I don't think I have time. Well, I'm retired. I have all time in the world. You know what I mean? It's an excuse. Now, if I had a broken leg, that would be a reason. You know what? We have to get real with ourselves. And when we come to church, we have to realize there's a DNA difference between a reason and an excuse. And just like my mom said, when you suit up and show up for school, I mean for church, you get dressed for it, you prepare yourself, you get in your vehicle, you drive to church, you sit there and listen to the preaching. You're ministered to, you're edified. And just like my mom said, I know you love me. You came and you bought me this gift. I'm asking you to make a sacrifice. And when someone approaches you about church, use those verses. Here they are. Who started the church? Church, Jesus. Matthew 16:16 through 18. Why attend? Because it says, do not forsake the assembling together. Hebrews 10:25. And because it's God's will. Luke 4:16. What purpose? Romans 12:9 through 10. How important it is? Ephesians 5:25 through 27. There's so many books in the Bible devoted to the church. And because it's a relationship with God, that's how important it is. It's to further your relationship with the Lord. You know, when you come to church, one of the purposes of church is to help grow you up, to move from baby to maturity. Don't offer an excuse or reason. Come to church because you love them. That's it, huh? That's it, sweetie.
Wonderful, sweetie. I don't really know how to what to say about that. As I look around, the people that are in here are in church, and there are people that aren't. How many of you know somebody that you wish would come to church? Yeah. Yes. If you've got a special person, see if it's important to you, I'm going to ask you to act on the word. See, every message, you're supposed to act on the word. That's what a message is for. Now, if somehow this is not for you, that's between you and the Lord. Just like many other things. But tonight I want to say this. I believe the most important thing that you can do to get somebody to attend church, well, do people, if they're not in church, what happens to them? Well, you know, I think each case is different. Every person is different. And one thing that the leadership of this church chose not to do is judge, but just to present. There is a difference. And so if there is somebody that you wish was in church, why? Doesn't it have something to do with so that they'll get closer to God? So that they won't be lost? Now, if you have that person in your mind that you care enough about, that if, that you wish they were in church, and that you're going to give yourself to prayer, and you know, I'd like just one person for tonight, the top person in your life. If you have somebody like that, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to come up here. If you don't come up here, that's up to you, of course. But then don't complain, you know, don't complain of the results. Is there anybody important enough in your life that you will act on the word that you want them? If there is, I just want you to come up here. Come up here right now. And if not, we'll just close her down. You're going to judge how this turns out. You can say, I'm too sick, I don't feel like it, I'm tired. That's fine. That's up to you. Whatever the reason, there's people coming from the nursery. You don't, there's not one more. Okay. There's not one more person. Right. Okay. Okay, smart Alec. Let's look at this here. Is there, let's examine it. Do you have anybody at work that you wish had come to church?
Well,
I'm not talking about this church.
Yeah, I wish the man that almost lost his life in an accident, Jim Bob, I've been inviting him to church for years and years, and he was in an accident where he could have died. Another guy died, and he's examining his life right now. And I told him, God, you're alive. I said, you're alive, man, because God wants to do something with you. I said, we can't do nothing about the other guy. So I'd like him to get in church. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, everybody, I'll tell you what, the most important thing, God knows who's sitting down. They might have to ask, God might ask them about that someday. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just wait another second, and I'm just going to ask everybody to do this. Take somebody by the hand. Really like what I heard you say tonight. It was really, really good. Father, you see everybody up here. That has somebody that they want to come to church. Some people will not act on the word. That's between you and them, Father. Oh, look at this fella. He come to, I don't even know him. What is his name?
Josh.
And who?
Leah.
Lord, for everybody that's come up here tonight, they've come up here for a reason. Thank you, Father. I believe people are serious that come up here. Mary, was it easy to come up here? Was it easy for you to come up here?
Yeah.
Was it? Good.
It was easy. I just walked up here.
It wasn't that hard to do. Okay. Lord, for all of these that come up here, you know everybody that came up. You have that person in your heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, I turn my attention to the ones and I leave the ones that won't come up to you, Father. But I turn my attention to most that came up, Father. You got people that would really, you would rejoice. Amen. Amen and amen. Father, I'm asking you to help them. And one of the things I would like God to do for you, each and every one of you, is give you an opportunity where you can say, I'm glad you asked that. Maybe you need to be in church. So, Father, give each one of them an opportunity to share their faith. Help each one of them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Does anybody up here want to tell who they're wanting to come to church? And it doesn't matter if they're wanting to come to this church. It doesn't matter at all. Does anybody want to share who? Who?
That I want my daughter in here.
Amen. Anybody else? You don't have to share.
I want my son, Matthew, in here.
And it doesn't have to be this church. Just, you know, what if that's a pretty important thing? I got this feeling. It's pretty important. Anybody else want to say who they want to come?
Frank and I have, well, it's my stepson, but it's his son, Chris. I really feel like God's trying to draw them to church.
Absolutely. Does anybody else want to say? You don't have to say. Yes.
My mom.
Me too. That's my, look at me. That's my daughter. I'd sure like for her to come.
My brother, Adam.
Anybody else want to call a name? Want to name somebody?
Nancy Joe.
Nancy Joe?
Yes.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Her aunt.
Okay. Do I know your aunt?
Alex's sister.
Whose sister?
Alex's little sister.
Okay. Anybody else want to name a name? You don't have to.
My friend Wyatt.
Wyatt. Amen. Megan is his mother, correct? Okay. Anybody else want to name a name?
My mommy.
Okay. Anybody else?
My daughter, Amber.
That looks like that's really on your heart. Anybody else?
I'm wanting every person in Logan County Jail to find their home church, is what I'm asking for.
You know what? I don't know if there's a whole lot of people that have asked for that tonight, but you did. So you came to the house of God, and you did. Anybody else? then I'm going to say this is what it is. You acted on the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Let's close with a prayer. Can we pray the Lord's Prayer?